This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. The American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, also known as APAC, is holding its annual conference this week. Attending that conference is every single presidential candidate, except for Bernie Sanders. The powerful Israel lobby group is often seen as kingmaker in presidential politics. Sanders, who is Jewish, surprised many by refusing to attend, especially since he had come under fire from progressives for having a blind spot on Israel's occupation of Palestine in the past. My guest is Huwaida Araf. She is a Palestinian-American human rights activist, lawyer, and co-founder of the International Solidarity Movement, former chair of the Free Gaza Movement, and the Palestine and Refugees Correspondent of Rising Up with Sonali. Welcome to the program, Huwaida.
Thank you for having me, Sonali, and congratulations on your new show.
Thank you very much. Well, how big a deal is it that Bernie Sanders is skipping this conference? Is this fairly unprecedented?
I think it goes without saying that it is unprecedented in the world of U.S. politics. Nearly, I think, every U.S. presidential candidate scrambles to get an audience in front of APAC, rushes to confirm when they are invited, and they do so, and they deliver the most nauseating speeches about how U.S.-Israel alliance, as we saw this morning with Hillary Clinton's speech. Now, as far as Bernie Sanders is concerned, I mean, he is going against the grain, and there was a petition calling on him to decline an invitation. It gathered nearly 20,000 signatures in just a matter of days. I don't know that that is what had the effect on him. I think also considering his own message and his own concerns, he has been avoiding much talk about international relations and foreign policy. He has been focusing on the domestic, and you know, having to address APAC would have put him in a position to have to talk about Israel and the United States, which again, I think he is in general avoiding. But also more than that, I think to his very progressive base, it would have countered his message, the message that really is invigorating and mobilizing the people, of standing up to the millionaires and billionaires that have been so destructive and have pushed U.S. policies to be those that are not in the interests of the American people, both domestically and internationally. And so appearing on the same stage with these people, addressing a crowd that is made up of these millionaires and billionaires and these special interest groups, again, that his message has been so much against, would have been just, and completely in contradiction to, I think, what his message has been on the campaign trail. And so he's doing, I think, what he needs to do and focusing on addressing the American people and campaigning out in the West, which is, you know, where he is. So kudos to him.
So let's talk about who did speak at the APAC conference. No surprise whatsoever that Hillary Clinton wouldn't skip the conference. She's made it very clear that she's firmly pro-Israel, and that's been true throughout her career. She went as far as practically pledging allegiance to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the past. Here's an excerpt of her speech where she chastised Donald Trump for not being pro-Israel enough and for essentially criticizing him.
Now, in a democracy, we're going to have differences. But what Americans are hearing on the campaign trail this year is something else entirely. Encouraging violence, playing coy with white supremacists, calling for 12 million immigrants to be rounded up and deported, demanding we turn away refugees because of their religion, and proposing a ban on all Muslims entering the United States.
That was Hillary Clinton speaking at the APAC conference earlier this week. What do you make of what she said, Huwaida, particularly where she criticized Donald Trump's position on refugees, on banning Muslims in the United States? That's kind of a weird thing to say to Israel, that has built what many call an apartheid state with Palestinians who are, of course, Muslim and Christian.
Exactly. I mean, Donald Trump's stated policies are abhorrent, but to criticize them in front of an audience made up of Israel supporters and in a speech where she is lauding Israel and calling for closer Israel-U.S. relations, as if they can get any closer, when Israel is doing almost the exact same thing that Donald Trump is talking about. I mean, Israel does not let in refugees. Right now, we're looking at one of the greatest refugee crisis since World War II right now in that area of the world, in the Middle East, refugees come pouring into Europe, and Israel is not taking in any refugees when a lot of these refugees, specifically from Syria, there are a lot of Palestinians from Syria, and their rightful place is in Palestine, which is, you know, part of it is now Israel. Israel is not letting any of these in. Tens of thousands of African refugees have come into Israel over the last few years, and Israel has treated them dismally, threatening to deport them or put them in prison, which it has done. It has built a prison in the desert for these refugees, and meanwhile has incited its own society to carry out violent acts against these African refugees. And as you mentioned, in terms of its treatment of the Palestinians and building a wall, although in that clip she didn't specifically talk about the wall, but Donald Trump has been talking about a wall with Mexico when Israel has built, you know, a tremendous wall, bigger than a wall this, you know, world has seen. And, you know, she... instead of, you know, Donald Trump, again, it's abhorrent, but he's talking about building it on an internationally recognized border. Israel is building it on Palestinian land in order to confiscate land and resources. So in a sense, even more egregious than the wall that Donald Trump has been talking about. So the policies that she was, you know, criticizing there are the exact policies that she is endorsing with her support and uncritical support of Israel. So very hypocritical to anyone that's really listening.
She also said, if you see bigotry, oppose it. If you see violence, condemn it. If you see a bully, stand up to him. One view, Israel is the biggest bully in the Middle East.
Exactly.
The biggest local bully, I should say, because of course the United States often eclipses the bully status but with its foreign interference. But I mean, that just pretty hypocritical, it seemed. The other thing that Hillary Clinton did, which one might even argue is sort of a victory for the forces attempting to hold Israel accountable, is she talked about the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement earlier in her speech. She said, many of the young people here today are on the front lines of the battle to oppose the alarming boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement known as BDS. And then she immediately pivoted, saying, particularly at a time when anti-Semitism is on the rise across the world. This is a standard line, right, Huwaida, that if you are pro-BDS, you're anti-Semitic?
Exactly. Trying to equate BDS with anti-Semitism, which couldn't be further from the truth. The boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is a movement in support of human rights and equality for all people, irrespective of race, religion, or ethnicity. It is a nonviolent, popular means of mobilizing against oppression. And when you're talking about the process in the United States or around the world for supporting BDS, it's a very democratic process, which university student bodies have signed on to, unions have debated and signed on to, churches and other groups. And so when she's talking about fighting BDS here, she's actually talking about fighting a very democratic movement by passing, which she is a supporter of, passing legislation that we are seeing happening and is actually at the top of AIPAC's agenda this year, legislation to fight boycott, divestment, and sanctions. So it's a legislation to fight democratic process for human rights and bypassing legislation that is intended to restrict people's freedom of speech and expression. So it's just another one of a long list of things that are very condemnable in Hillary Clinton's speech to AIPAC.
Let's also talk about the fact that at the same time that the AIPAC conference you know, was being readied, as Clinton is saying, if you see violence, condemn it, Israel continues its oppressive policies in the West Bank and also in Gaza. In fact, very recently, speaking of if you see violence, condemn it, we didn't hear Hillary Clinton condemn what Israel did to one family in Gaza, where two children were killed in a single night. What has been happening in Gaza as, you know, the world is sort of distracted by AIPAC and by Trump, etc.?
Exactly. About 9-10 days ago, last weekend, Israel fired missiles into Gaza, and they hit nearby a home where a six-year-old girl, Isra Abul Khusa, and her 10-year-old brother were sleeping. Her brother was killed almost instantly, and Sarat died just a couple of hours later in the hospital. And these children were already, you know, sleeping in a home that was already partially destroyed from Israel's 2014 onslaught against Gaza, as, you know, thousands and thousands of homes and other structures were destroyed, and very few, if any, have been rebuilt because of Israel's continuing blockade, very illegal, immoral blockade on the territory, which really forbids travel, forbids urgently needed items from entering, forbids any kind of rebuilding supplies from coming in, except for very, very few exceptions. I mean, even international agencies such as UN has complained that it will take them decades to rebuild Gaza at the rate that Israel is allowing rebuilding supplies. And so here you have even the UN complaining about Israel's policies. And this is not to speak about the continuing violence. Fishermen that tried to fish to make a living because the economy is all but decimated in Gaza. Israeli gunboats continue to fire at them. Farmers that try to tend their crops, if they get a little bit too close to the fence that Israel has put, the Israeli army opens fire on them. So these people continue to try to exist in a really unlivable situation. And right, we hardly hear anything about it. You know, she talks about only the violence against Israel, and that's just the West Bank. That's just Gaza. In the West Bank, also just a couple of days ago, two young men were buried from a Palestinian village of Beit Fajar. They're shot dead by Israeli soldiers. Israel continues to fire on unarmed protests weekly, people that are taken to the streets to protest the confiscation of their land, the ongoing building of settlements. Israel opens fire weekly, injures dozens of people. And you hear nothing about that in Hillary Clinton's speech, in our mainstream media, anywhere. All you hear about is if a Palestinian retaliates in any way, if a young man frustrated tries to stab a soldier, which, you know, we're not applauding, but we also have to understand where this comes from. And if we're going to do anything to ensure the security of people in, you know, in this region, then we really have to address Israel's ongoing violence against the Palestinian people, the confiscation of their land, the right to life. It can't go on like this.
Finally, Huwaida, how important is AIPAC's endorsement or allegiance to AIPAC in U.S. presidential politics? Much is made of the power of the so-called Israel lobby. Some argue that it's overstated. Hillary Clinton certainly seems to think it's extremely important. Sanders clearly thinks he might do well to not attend. Perhaps he is really counting on rallying the progressive vote that is critical of Israel's policies on Palestinians. Still, for Sanders, it could be quite a risky move. Should the position of AIPAC in presidential politics be considered pretty important?
Well, I mean, I think that we see it has been, AIPAC has repeatedly been cited as one, either the most or the second most influential lobby group on Capitol Hill. Their influence in American political life is known and has been felt, and this has been said by various candidates for office throughout the years, both that have been supported by AIPAC and those that have felt the ire of AIPAC. But what Senator Sanders is trying to do is to build something alternative, to really speak for the people and to really turn away from these special interest groups with the big money that have been running our political system. And I think he's mobilizing a lot of people that support that message. And I certainly support that message. I'm sure a lot of your listeners also support this message. And we hope it is a message that will carry wide and far and will be victorious in the end. It's probably not going to be easy. He did take a rare, and we'll say a bold step in turning down AIPAC's invitation. And I hope to see that it doesn't really affect him at all. Maybe then people will start to see that standing up to AIPAC may not be that politically costly, specifically when you're speaking about really true America, the interests of the American people, which AIPAC has not been speaking to.
Well, Huwaida, I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
Huwaida Araf is a Palestinian-American human rights activist, a lawyer and co-founder of the International Solidarity Movement in Palestine, also the former chair of the Free Gaza Movement. She is the Palestine and Refugees Correspondent for Rising Up with Sonali. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Back in just a moment.